Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is up, family? Welcome to Speak. We are glad to have you, but I gotta be honest, y'all are spoiled because y'all have one heck of a crew to give y'all this show. I'm Emmanuel Acho, but most importantly, that is Slick Rick Bucher, knowledgeable about all things sports. Can't wait to hear what he has to say. To his right, how about Joy Taylor, the brilliant, the one and only. Everybody knows what that is. And then 2-5, 2-Live, LeSean Shady McCoy. I'm liking the monochromatic. That's 2 days in a row you've been in your bag.
But listen,
2 days in a row.
You said Joy knows everything? Yep. Yes, she does. She just had Biggie Smalls going crazy. The 10 Crack Commandments. What?
Sorry, ready.
He's ready.
You know it's a good show. She put that Biggie Smalls on. You feel me?
It is going to be a great show. Glad to have you. But the most urgent news that we have to talk about in the world of sports, it's actually the NBA news. The Dallas Mavericks are currently in the midst of a colossal collapse. And the question is why. I'm not going to try to sway you right now. That's not my objective. Very simply put, I am going to lay out some information, and I urgently ask that you do with it what you will. Kyrie Irving went to the Dallas Mavericks in the middle of the season. People thought that it was a brilliant addition. But when you look at Kyrie in Dallas, it hasn't gone well. But it's not just Dallas. Think about the Kyrie action over the course of his career. Drafted number one to the Cleveland Cavaliers. You would think that Kyrie would really make some noise in Cleveland, but without LeBron James, he never did. A 34% winning percentage without LeBron James. So truth be told, Kyrie in Cleveland, well, losing followed him. Well, cut two, he leaves Cleveland. He goes to Boston. In Boston, you would think he's joining up with Tatum. He's joining up with Brown. He's joining up with Marcus Smart. Winning will be there, surely. But that's not the case. You see, with Kyrie, they lost in the semis. But when Kyrie didn't play, the first year he was there, they went to the conference finals. And then after Kyrie departed to Brooklyn, they once again went to the conference finals. Well, speaking of Brooklyn, let's get there. Kyrie's in Brooklyn. Surely Kyrie, Kevin Durant, we think it's going to go great, right? Wrong. Kyrie Irving, his first year in Brooklyn, they had a better percentage when he did not play. His second year in Brooklyn, identical winning percentage when he did play. His third year, his fourth year in Brooklyn, they are better when Kyrie Irving does not play. It is a simple observation that losing follows Kyrie like the dawn follows the night. I am just presenting the information, but you all do with it what you will. Let me get to the desk and see what y'all have to say about the information I presented. I just presented it. I did not say any opinion. I simply presented the data, Shady. You love you some Kyrie Irving, as you should.
Yeah.
But do the Mavericks have a Kyrie Irving problem?
Well, I wasn't feeling that.
Why not?
It's not a Kyrie Irving problem. Him and Luka's only played 12 to 13 games. That's not enough time to get that true team bond, continuity.
Sure.
That team where they, I know what you want.
Of course.
They don't have that yet. And I think the biggest problem with the Mavs is they don't have enough. I think you bid onto this. I think you sign Kyrie Irving, right? You have Luka.
Mm-hmm.
You know you have the offensive scoring. There's no better scoring combination in the NBA. That's just a fact.
Sure.
Them two together. So now I think that now you go out there, you get a little bit more size, you get a little bit more defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they need.
Sure. Mm. But here's my issue then, Shady. Don't just explain to me the last 14 games, because I believe they're 6-8 since that addition, if I am not mistaken, at least when those two are combined in some facet on the court. Explain to me, they're 4-9 together, mind you.
Yeah.
So explain to me this. Kyrie in Boston, Kyrie in Brooklyn, Kyrie in Dallas. They say one time it's a coincidence, two times it might be something, but by three times it's a habit.
But like
it's a habit.
The way he presented that is so false, right? I see what the numbers say, but like, first of all, when he was with, let's go to the Boston first.
Sure.
Right? They were okay. They won games. You talk about they went to the conference game.
Without him. With him, they lost in the semis.
Hmm. But you still went to the playoffs. You guys, like, it's terrible. Seriously, though, because I hate when people do that. Like, if 1 year don't work out, it's the worst thing. No. This guy is still a winner. This guy is still a great player. And I feel like teams with him are better.
8 years since LeBron James. That's the last thing I'm going to give you. And hopefully now I'm trying to sway you. I'll be honest.
Come on.
8 years since LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, all he has to show for it is two first-round playoff series wins. Explain to me that. Because if Kyrie is a top 10 or top 15 player currently playing, explain to me why he does not have top 10 or top 15 player results. I got two first-round playoff series wins. Two of them in 8 years. Two of them.
This is what I will say, right? This is what I will say about Kyrie Irving. When he's playing and he's locked in, no distractions. You talked about the Nets. Mm. With the Nets, I don't think he was fully locked in. He has so many different distractions off the court, you know, his different beliefs and things going on, and he just wouldn't play, right? From the COVID shots and et cetera. But when he's locked in, he's a different player. You talk about the LeBron James. People always want to talk about the Cavs with LeBron, but, yo, he don't win no championship without Kyrie Irving, right? Come on, so we gotta get the same way you wanna shine light on him and hate on him a little bit. Give him some love for the stuff he did do. As much as stuff you can talk about how he did bad and he was this, he wasn't that. Talk about the stuff he did do, balling the numbers and et cetera, and winning championships.
Here's my thought process, though, Joy. The greatest contribution Kyrie Irving then made is a four-game contribution. In Cleveland, without Kyrie Irving, they went back to the NBA Finals. They got swept. But they went back to the NBA Finals. With Kyrie Irving, they won in seven. They won them four games. So, yes, Kyrie Irving was responsible. If you want to give him
Don't make me get his numbers.
If you want to give responsibility, okay. He was responsible for four games.
Thank you.
Joy, do the Mavericks have a Kyrie problem?
No, I don't think they have a Kyrie problem. How is this Kyrie's fault? Is Luka still on the team?
He is. Mm.
This is Luka's team. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the blame should be on the superstar. That's Luka in this particular situation. Kyrie's a new guy. They were bad defensively before Kyrie got there. They're bad defensively now.
Mm-hmm.
They lost defensive pieces. The problem is not Kyrie. The problem is the construction of the team.
Hmm.
And if you want to put blame on anybody, I got to put it on Luka. This is Luka's team. He's the face of this organization. You were excited to bring Kyrie in.
He was.
Furthermore, while I hear everything you're saying about the statistics, and they are what they are.
They are what they are.
I don't think that Kyrie is a player that on his own can go win a championship.
Sure.
That doesn't mean he's not a superstar. Mm. That doesn't mean he's not valuable. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of great players. We say top 50, like top 15, top 20 players in the league, right? That's like the elite.
Mm-hmm.
Out of those players, how many guys would you be willing to put your house on can go win a championship? Not many.
Three, maybe. Maybe.
Mm. Giannis, Steph.
KD.
KD. That's, LeBron.
Yeah.
After that, you're starting to get a little queasy.
Mm-hmm.
You might be out on the street.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't say that those other men that we didn't mention aren't stars.
But here's my thought, Joy. You used that operative word there, Slick, and I saw you're very in tune with this conversation. You used the operative word of valuable. You said Kyrie is very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
To me, value is something that is an additive. Right? If you, Shady, you own a lot of homes, you own a lot of properties. Those are valuable because that is increasing your portfolio. That's increasing your net worth. Value is increasing something. But wherever Kyrie Irving goes, outside of LeBron James, he does not increase anything. The Brooklyn Nets never had a better winning percentage with Kyrie. It was equal or worse. The Boston Celtics were never better in the playoffs. Going further with Kyrie, it was equal or worse. The Dallas Mavericks have been worse. So we use the word value, but Slick, I just do not see it. You can speak to that or the Kyrie Irving problem.
I feel as if when we talk about Kyrie Irving, I hear a lot of the same things that I would hear about Carmelo Anthony. In terms of the individual talent, how good he was, but why didn't he win more? Why wasn't he on more winning teams? Why didn't he win a championship? I'm going to help you out, Shade, because there is an explanation for all of those situations. When he came into Boston, he was the player that they built around with young talent around him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. They go to the semifinals. Then they go the next year. They're playing well. He's an MVP candidate through most of that year. He gets hurt and they go to the playoffs and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown blow up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the dynamic of the team has changed.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And so the roles have changed. That's not on Kyrie. That's just a circumstance of where these young guns demonstrated what they're capable of. So who are you asking to take a back seat? Are you asking Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to take a step back? They just went to the conference finals. Are you asking Kyrie Irving to take a step back? He just got there and said, I'm wed to you guys. No. So that's why he moved on. Now, the overall answer for why I believe that he's not the problem in Dallas, and you guys mentioned it, which is, They need time to construct a team around Luka and Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't ignore what they gave up in order to get Kyrie. I'm just looking at his numbers. Dallas versus Brooklyn. Field goal percentage in Dallas up from Brooklyn. Three-point percentage up from Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Free throw percentage up from Brooklyn. Free throw attempts up. Assists up. Steals up. The only thing down, points by one and turnovers. So he's been a more efficient player in and of himself in Dallas than he was in Brooklyn. So I can't go there.
Okay.
Now, the reason I would say, I just said he's not the problem for why they are where they are, why they have a Kyrie Irving problem is because they gave away all those pieces with the assumption that they're going to re-sign him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just talking to an executive about this. And he said, there's no way they made that deal without knowing that he's coming back. And then he paused and he goes, except it's Kyrie Irving. Like, he has to come back. And the problem is, can they really guarantee that he's going to come back and they're going to build around him because of what's happening right now? That's the problem, is that they don't know if they have him long term.
Isn't though shady, and you can speak to this obviously because of a lot of your business and real estate, isn't one of the biggest issues you can ever make overvaluing or overestimating something?
Yeah.
I think that's what happens with Kyrie Irving. Boston did it because, remember, Jaylen Brown had to take a huge backseat when Kyrie Irving was present. You saw his points per game dip, and then he went crazy without Kyrie and has been gone crazy since the years then. You would assume, Slick, and Shady brought this up, Kyrie Irving and Luka, it should be enough to at least keep you at the sixth seed. At least. I don't need you to win the title. But if you have two top 15 players in basketball, a top 15 and a top five, you should be good. The Lakers with AD and LeBron were good enough to win a chip. Yeah. So if you got the top 15, top five, at least be in the playoff picture. I think the dilemma is that you overvalue Kyrie because you trade Finney Smith, you trade Dinwiddie because you think Kyrie is that good. And unfortunately, Shady, he's just not.
I'm on the other side of, you do need the star players, but you really need some role players. You talk about that in the bubble with LeBron and AD, but like, KP was big, Kuzma was big, Rondo was big, Dwight Howard was big. Like, you need certain role players to play them roles. So I do love the top tier with Luka and Kyrie, but I just think for them to be successful in this place they want to go, they need some role players. Even the Warriors last year, people didn't think the Warriors could beat Boston, right, in the championship game, but they had role players, right? Like Wiggins becomes your best player, your second best player. Then you got
Draymond, Clay.
No.
Andrew Wiggins?
Payton.
Oh, GP.
Gary Payton.
Yeah. Gary Payton, he played a crazy role. You need role players. I know you want to kill Kyrie, and it's the easiest thing to do, but he can't do everything. And like Slick just talked about, his numbers are all the way up.
Slick, what will it take for it to change in Dallas? Because they've gone from the sixth seed to the 11th seed. They only got a few games left, roughly double digits. What in the world? How's it going to turn?
Yeah, they're up against it because they have a tougher schedule than Oklahoma City does, or even the Utah Jazz have. I believe the New Orleans Pelicans as well. So to see them jump back in is going to be a challenge. I don't have a specific answer in terms of, from a schematic standpoint, what has to change. I just find it hard to believe that Luka Doncic, because he is the leader of that team, that he is going to accept not making the playoffs, that he's going to find a way to drag that team into the play-in at the very least, because he has that big game experience that the Utah Jazz and the Oklahoma City Thunder do not. But aside from that, this is really about getting Kyrie and Luka and believing that that is your nucleus for now building a better team than you had previously that went to the Western Conference Finals. And it's going to be all about the pieces that they're able to put around it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why the problem is with Mark Cuban and Nico Harris.
I think that's a
lie. They're the ones that have to answer.
I think that's a lie. I don't know. We got to go to break, but here's what I'll leave us with. The reason I think it's a lie is, when has Kyrie Irving plus anybody, not named LeBron James, been an adequate nucleus?
Okay, but we put Luka Doncic right there with LeBron James.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give him that chance. When has he been in a situation with a team as good as the team was in Cleveland with LeBron James?
I don't know. That team in Brooklyn was decent last night. They had Kevin Durant.
They all didn't play.
Kevin Durant, right?
They all didn't play.
right? Right?
They play some games they don't.
They had a good bench. Curry was there, right?
Yeah.
He was up and down.
Oh, okay. How available?
How many games did those guys play together?
I
said they didn't play together at all.
I think Spencer Dinwiddie's already played more games.
I couldn't hear you.
We didn't look
like KD was good. Last time you told me. That's what I heard. But KD and Kyrie weren't great.
They didn't play a lot together.
It's on me. Let's go to break.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Coming up, Lamar Jackson is pushing back against criticism, but Hall of Famer Deion Sanders, he had to chime in, and he told Lamar, yo, you do not have to explain yourself. We will tell you whether we agree or vehemently disagree with that thought.
Is that an olive branch on your lapel? Because you need to be offering that right now.
Lamar Jackson surprised us all when he went on a Twitter rant defending himself. Well, primetime, Deion Sanders, he said yesterday, yo, on Twitter, he said, stop explaining yourself to fools and allow fools to be fools. A brother that's strong, believes in himself and willing to stand for what he believes will always be misunderstood and judged by fools of all ethnicities. Love your brother, and I believe in you. Close quote, hashtag Coach Prime. Coach Prime, obviously a friend of the show, one of the most talented players the game of football has ever seen. Shady, you and I obviously talked to him extensively during the Super Bowl. A great conversation. So when Prime speaks, I listen. I know you listen.
Yes, I think
Lamar Jackson should probably listen. But does Lamar need to explain himself?
He doesn't have to. I think Lamar Jackson, his type of talent, who he is, we won't see another Lamar for another 20 years, 25 years. He don't have to explain himself to nobody. He don't have to talk for nobody. Listen, I'm this good. My game speaks for itself. If you don't want to pay me, fine. The Ravens, if y'all don't, cool. Somebody's going to pay Lamar Jackson, and they want that type of generational talent. One of Kanye West's favorite lines, he would say, it's 1,000 yous, it's only one of me.
Yeah.
I think it's like, it's 1,000 of these critics. I don't know these guys, Twitter, on TV. Maybe another LeSean McCoy somewhere, another platform. There's only one Lamar Jackson playing on that field. So, yes, Prime is right. Don't worry about them critics. Keep doing your thing. Don't explain yourself. Your play is good enough.
But, Shady, is it? Because if you're Lamar, the only reason Lamar is currently explaining himself is because he doesn't have what he wants.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not explaining himself because he's bored on Twitter. He's explaining himself because he doesn't yet have a new contract, because lies are still in the ether, because people still talking that talk. At what point, if you are Lamar, can you just not explain yourself, or are you like, man, Aaron Rodgers explaining himself? Man, let me go ahead and say what I got to say.
I think it's more like the going back and forth with the Twitters, you know what I mean, answering different narratives out there. If he didn't want to play, you know, in the playoffs because he didn't get his money, stuff like that. He's addressing where he talked about, well, listen, I was there week one without my big deal, where most players wouldn't have did that. So I think it's more of that. I mean, and one thing about ball players, I got to be honest, we get sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
We take a lot of pride in our work. We take a lot of time working out, staying in shape, getting our body right, conditioning, being disciplined, maybe not drinking, not hanging out, to be the best on Sundays. And I feel like when you see people, critics, randoms, and Cam Newton's words, you get upset. And I've been there, like, yo, how you judging me or talking about me? You don't know the work and the time I put in. So I get that part of it, but the other part where Prime is saying, listen, you're so big, you're so good, you only have to respond. And that's the thing I think the approach he needs to take.
Yeah, I agree with Prime. So we talked about this yesterday. He doesn't have to explain himself. It's Lamar Jackson.
Right.
He's him. You don't have to explain yourself to Coach Kush. You don't gotta do that.
Is that the name?
It's one of them.
Coach Kush.
You don't gotta respond.
Low and
loud. We don't have to respond to these people. We really don't have to respond to anyone.
Yeah.
Mm. Listen, I have done my share of clapping back on Twitter. I am very, very good at it. I've heard a lot of people's feelings.
Agreed. This is entertaining.
And I have.
I'm a follower.
Thank you. I'm in retirement right now because, you know, I'm busy. I have stuff to do. I don't have time for these randoms. But so does Lamar. Lamar is busy. He's busy negotiating. This person on Twitter is not going to get you paid. Mm. This person on Twitter is not going to change your money. Mm. What it could do is take away from your money, though. It could make somebody wonder how much you are worth. Whether or not people think people pay attention to stuff like this, they do. You're in negotiations for hundreds of millions of dollars. It's not time to talk. Mm-hmm. It's just not. We know what Lamar Jackson is. The NFL knows what Lamar Jackson is. It's coming. It's going to come down to money. That's what this is. It's a negotiation about money, and it will get solved. But nothing that's going to happen on Twitter, no interaction that's going to happen publicly like that, is going to change what Lamar Jackson's resume is. And that's what Prime is saying. You can't really win in a situation like this. It's not like he's clapping back on somebody who's making fun of his eyebrows.
Yeah.
Like, this is your legacy. This is what you've put on the field with blood, sweat, and tears. Who cares what they say about whether you... This person would stub their toe and call into work. They're not playing through nothing that you're playing through. They're not putting their body on the line. So what does their opinion really matter?
You guys obviously listen to Prime. Prime obviously listens to me because I... said this exact same thing on the show. He must be watching Speak, and he must have heard the truth. I made this exact point. Like, he doesn't have to explain himself. He doesn't have to be in the Twitter streets. Like, he doesn't have to Twitter fight streets. These battles. He's not going to gain anything from that. But there's something else that Prime pointed to about a guy willing to stand for what he believes will always be misunderstood. And you said it at the very beginning about what Lamar believes or wants, what he wants. Do we know what he wants? That's what I need him to explain, is what does he really want? Because short of having an agent who's going to position with the various people out there what his client wants or what they're after, it's left to Lamar to be clear on what he wants. Does he want to remain with the Baltimore Ravens? Does he want to remain with the Ravens as a certain price? Does he want to be the highest paid quarterback in the league? Like, what is it that he's really after? It's hard for me to determine whether he's being misunderstood when I don't know what it is that he wants.
So you don't even know what there is to understand.
Yes, and that's the part for me that I need some clarity.
But I'm saying, like, no player ever openly speaks about that contract, what they want.
How many guys represent themselves, essentially?
I mean, it's been done before. Richard Sherman did it.
Russell Okung, Roquan Smith.
Yeah, a couple dudes did it. But I'm just saying, even that part, if you represent yourself or not, nobody goes out there and tells you exactly what they want in contracts. I've never seen that.
Let me ask y'all this. Y'all have an issue with this? Because what I think Lamar Jackson should do is start telegraphing his punches. Like, he waits to throw them and then tells you that he threw them. I think he should start telegraphing.
Here come the hook.
Exactly. Here come the hook and then throw it and watch it land. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers did. Remember, it was July 26, 2021. Aaron Rodgers verbally said, I want Randall Cobb. Then July 28th is when Aaron Rodgers said, man, the Packers let go of some old savvy vets that it would behoove us to have kept. Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers, Charles Woodson, Jordy Nelson, some guys that may have been past their prime, but it would have been nice for them to keep. Okay. Literally 31 days later, the Packers signed Randall Cobb. Telegraph punch, it lands. It was January 2022. Aaron Rodgers telegraphs this punch. I got a lot on my mind as it pertains to football. So many different things could happen. 2 months later, he gets paid the highest average annual value. What just happened 2 months ago at the end of the season when they lose to the Lions? Yeah, my future in Green Bay, it's kind of up in the air. Telegraph punch. What's he do on Pat McAfee's show 2.5 weeks ago? Yeah, I want to go to the Jets. Telegraph punch. Rodgers is telling you he's about to throw to straight right, and then he throws it, and he still knocks you out. Do you have an issue with Lamar? Because I think Lamar should start telegraphing them punches and landing them, Joy.
I mean, I think there's a playbook to this, but I don't know that – I feel it's a bit apples to oranges with – Aaron Rodgers.
Why? Break that down.
Well, because Aaron Rodgers' legacy is already set. He's the first ballot Hall of Famer. He has a Super Bowl, 4 MVPs. He's been paid. Mm-hmm. He's got State Farm commercials. Like, he's good. So it's much easier when you have that kind of leverage in your back pocket to, you know.
And the Packers are super soft.
Yeah.
True. My God.
He's, you know,
Charming.
He's not lying.
Ultra.
So it's easier to throw those things around when you're Aaron Rodgers and you're in that situation. Lamar is trying to get his payday. He's trying to get to that next step. He's in a completely different place in his career. And now, because he is this outlier, doesn't have traditional representation, is trying to get this fully guaranteed contract, everyone's throwing things at him to discredit why he deserves that. So that's why he's on Twitter. That's why he's out here defending himself, saying, wait a minute, like, this is... What about all these things I did? And that's why, I don't want to use the word, that's why he's heightened.
Quickly, Joy.
In having to explain
himself. I have a thought, and I really have a question. I want you to answer it. Don't you explain yourself when you have some self-doubt? Like, surely you don't clap back now because you're busy. You don't clap back because now you're older. You don't clap back because blah, 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 blah. But there also, I believe, at least for me, is a piece of shady. I don't respond to people now because I'm like, I know what I've done. I know exactly who I am. I know exactly how accomplished I am. And I know everybody else sees my value. The Emmys speak for themselves. The number one New York Times bestseller speak for themselves. So I don't actually have to clap back because I know I'm good. But before them trophies, I would, man, what you mean I'm not a good host? What you mean this and that? What you mean?
So you would respond to people?
Back in the day, now I wouldn't clap back like, Joy, she's a queen. I have no crown. But like, don't you think, Joy, a part of it now, and I can't speak for you, so I'm genuinely curious, but don't you think a part of Lamar's clapping back comes from maybe a little doubt of, I am a unanimous MVP, but it was 1,200 days ago. Could any of it be a little doubt in that? I don't know. I'm speaking for me.
I don't know. I've been excellent, so that wasn't a reason why I was responding.
But you've leveled up. In this industry, I would say.
Well, yeah. I mean, the growth is what we do.
Correct.
But I was her then, too.
Right, yeah.
So there's no difference in the confidence I had in myself.
But there's a difference in the achievement, meaning Lamar Jackson's achievements have done this. And truth be told, they've done this.
I think it's more about Lamar is the center of attention right now.
Mm-hmm.
He is a star. He's the face of the league. He's winning, he's the MVP, but right now, everybody's throwing negativity his way in a way that doesn't really feel fair. Like, nobody's paying these bills except for the owners.
Right.
Y'all are not writing this check for Lamar Jackson. So what is the point of picking at whether he deserves this money or should get this money or if it's worth it to a team to get this money? At the end of the day, he feels he deserves this because he's earned it. He has. It's not his fault that the Browns went out and did this. That's what the market is.
Okay.
It's how this works for every single position ever since negotiating has started. The next star up gets paid.
Two things. Okay. One, it doesn't always go up. Okay, let's be clear. Deshaun Watson signed his deal, and then Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson signed their deals.
They're not the same.
For less than Deshaun Watson got. So this idea that it always goes up.
But they're not the same.
I'm just saying that the idea that the market is set by whatever the last highest contract was has already been disproved.
Not for everybody.
Here's the second part.
For those dudes, it is.
Here's the second part. Is I don't know that everybody's coming after Lamar Jackson. I think he's finding the people that are coming. I don't see this avalanche of criticism. I see as much about what are the Ravens doing as I do about Lamar Jackson. And the Ravens just continue to go, yeah, we hope to make we hope to resolve our differences and to have Lamar back. And meanwhile, Lamar is now out again, like fighting battles with people who aren't actually involved in the discussion.
I got a question. Joy, do you think, and Shady, I want to ask you all both, do you think you should pay somebody for what they have done or what they are going to do? Joy first, Shady.
Can I answer that too?
I should get in.
Okay.
Do you think you should pay somebody for what they have done, Joy, or what you think they're going to do?
Both.
Okay, but if you're another team, then what is it?
What other team are we talking about? Are we talking about the Falcons, who were the worst in their division last year? Are we talking about the Colts, who can't get it together for life? Are we talking about the Raiders? Yes, you pay for potential and you pay for accomplishment.
There's only one answer.
What's that?
You're paying them for what they're going to do, not what they've done.
Shady?
I think it's a little bit of both. First of all,
you're never going to know what someone's going to do.
You won't even go out there and get a player if you're not aware of what he's already done. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
So Lamar was a beast, so that's why they're going out there to get him. Now, he hasn't had years as great as he has in the past, but you still want him, you still value him, his talent, his potential. So you're paying for both. You're paying for what he's already done. That's why we go out there to get Lamar Jackson. And then you're paying for what he's going to do, what he brings to your team. How many teams can he go to right now and he won't be the best player? So y'all like to try to not give him his credit, but when we really sit down and think about it, how many teams can he go to and won't be the best player? Let's talk about the teams that don't want him, right? You said the Colts. He'll be the best player in the Colts right now.
Okay.
Jonathan Taylor's better at what he does than Lamar than what he does.
How? Because he did one year of good year, one good year, and then what? Let's get there.
Lamar Jackson.
And I'm a fan of JT. Okay, wrong again. Let's go to the Atlanta Falcons. What would he be there? Not only should they give him a new contract, they should give him some stake and some equity in the team. Who else we got?
Hey, but here's the thing.
Shady. Who else we got?
You're confusing.
The Saints.
No, Shady. You're confusing value with talent at the
moment. It's the same thing. It really is.
And he plays quarterback.
Correct. Most valuable, of course. Lamar will be the most valuable player on any team he goes to.
He'd be both. I think you're talking of players that do you only value the position. So, like, for example, the New York Giants, right? Danny Dimes, they're going to pay him on the value of the team and a position. Where Lamar Jackson is both. We're going to pay him for his value as a quarterback who's elite, who's top five, top eight. And then you're going to pay him for being the best player on your team.
Now, let me ask you this. Will Lamar Jackson, because I believe kind of with Slick, especially if you weren't the Ravens, you're paying for what you think Lamar will do. I'm not paying you for what you did in Baltimore, respectfully. If I am the Atlanta Falcons, I'm not giving you back pay.
You only know Lamar Jackson's name because of what he's done in Baltimore.
That's correct, what I'm saying. But I'm paying you based off the projection of what I think you will do for me.
And I'm
congrats on what you did there, but I'm paying you because what I think you will do for me.
But you're in the building or in the meeting with him because what he did.
Okay.
That's part of it. Okay, now I want to get there.
Okay, so now what am I going to do going forward?
Yeah.
My question is this. Is Lamar's next 5 years, because he just finished his fifth, do you believe that his next 5 will be as good as his last 5? That is the question that you have to answer.
I think it'd be better because I don't see Lamar Jackson.
So you see another MVP.
Listen, let me finish what I'm saying.
Go ahead.
I don't know if I ever see the MVP year again. Like, that's hard to do. Patrick Mahomes has been lights out. He's only had how many MVPs?
Two of them.
Okay. So my thing is this.
Been in the conversation.
I mean, whatever. That don't count. That don't count for nothing.
What?
Two of them. It be in the conversation?
Because Lamar's been in the conversation.
What are you talking about?
I'm with you. I'm with you. Go ahead.
Anyway, I'm just saying, going forward, I don't know if he can get another MVP year, but you still could be a great player and have big success without being the MVP.
True.
Because these last 2 years, he's been hurt. So imagine you take, because first of all, his first 3, he wasn't getting hurt at all.
No, sir, he wasn't.
So if you move forward, he has the same success as far as not getting injured like the first 3 years, and he has continued process of getting better and better and better. Lamar Sharp may have a better 5 years. I can see that.
We will revisit this topic.
Lamar is that dude. I don't know what y'all seeing.
I didn't say he's
y'all
not.
Crazy.
I didn't say, Lamar, you are that dude. Okay, just for clarification.
Carl was talking about these two.
Well, Aaron Rodgers is that dude, too. And the trade saga in the Big Apple appears to be on pause.
Uh-oh.
I got a story from my playing days that will tell you why the Jets should be concerned about actually landing Aaron Rodgers. I thought about it this morning, and it is perfectly applicable. You'll want to hear it next.
On, get him.
Applicable.
Well, checking in on our social life, maybe the funniest thing I've seen in a long time on social media. NFL head coaches, they took their annual group photo during the recent owners' meetings. And Jason and Travis Kelce, again, friends of the show, they had some fun trying to name all of the coaches. Y'all got to listen to this.
We show players this picture, and they have to name each coach in this picture. Let's give it a Travis Kelce try right now.
I'm the worst with names, but I can tell you team.
Starting on the left.
Chargers, Giants.
Yep.
San Fran. Who the f*** is that guy?
No chance you're getting this one. 0% chance.
No clue. Jets. After Jets, nothing. I've never seen that man in my life.
So good.
Who was it? Who was it?
I will fail this test.
All right, how many you got? How many did you get?
Listen, it's bigger issues right now. I don't know.
Yo, that's not dodging.
No. Real quick, before we get funny, we need more black coaches. We need more black coaches. Out of 32 teams, only 4 black coaches? That's crazy,
damn,
man.
It's
terrible.
It is. I'm still trying to figure out who was the coach between Steichen and Saleh. Like, this one right here.
That is theirs.
I like Cal from Good Morning Football.
Eberflus.
Oh, Eberflus got great. I knew. I ain't seen Eberflus in 10 years, though.
Right. That dude for the
that's a Steichen.
The Bears.
Now, here's the question. I got 29.
That's Steichen. You got 29?
I got 29.
Here's in person, I would know him. I
got
know
29.
Eberflus.
Now, here's the question. Here's the real question. Because not only did I get 29, the reason I got 29
is
two of them aren't up there. Who ain't there?
Oh, that's a good question.
We're
so how many coaches are pictured?
There are 30 coaches pictured.
Okay, yeah. Sirianni's not pictured.
There's 3 that aren't there, actually.
Sirianni's not pictured. Hold on. We're delving into bad TV right now. No, we're not. Sirianni's not. Give me the team, Joy.
What? That's too easy.
What do you mean? That's the answer.
Yeah, exactly.
Titans.
Stop it.
Oh, Frank Wright.
Titans. Titans, you know.
Oh, yeah, Vrabel.
Vrabel.
I like Vrabel. But you got 29? That's pretty good.
I got to be honest. Just seeing, like, Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick in like, dress clothes or Mike Montgomery in a jacket is throwing me off. You
one
recognize
thing about
the
Andy,
face?
Though, Andy's going to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Coach Reed is going to be comfortable, and he's going to have his shirt.
Here's what I like, though. I like how Reed and Belichick, like the two best coaches on there, Shady, I would say.
Right in the middle.
Is it a coincidence that Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl winner,
yep.
Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl attendee, Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl winner are right next to each other? Yeah. Or y'all think it's kind of like a Super Bowl club?
Tomlin got a Super Bowl.
But I think it's OGs up front.
OGs up front?
Yeah, OGs.
But what about Tomlin then? Because Tomlin been coaching about 16 years now.
He got Doug on the other end got a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
McCarthy on the other end got a Super Bowl.
But Doug, did Doug coach D'Amico?
Yep.
Yeah,
no,
Doug.
No.
He didn't? It's funny, but when you look at these pictures, this stuff is fascinating. Anyway, what's more fascinating, we got to transition to to Aaron Rodgers, because that saga is fascinating. I got to go try to see if I can do this later on. All right, we're still waiting to see if Aaron Rodgers will get traded to the Jets. Their owner, Woody Johnson, said they're anxious, but added, quote, "We're willing to stick with our plan. I don't think anybody here is hyperventilating." Well, I would hope not.
Right.
Well, they say they're not hyperventilating. I want to say why I think the Jets should be nervous. Shady, I was thinking about this. We have all assumed the Jets are going to land Aaron Rodgers, but that assumption is dangerous. Reason being, it was 2015. I'm on the Eagles. We had just traded LeSean McCoy. So now it's 2015. The quarterback that was going to be drafted early, Heisman winner Marcus Mariota. Chip Kelly had coached Marcus Mariota. We, as the Eagles, wanted to trade for Marcus Mariota. So we did what the Jets were doing. We prepared to trade for Marcus Mariota. What are the Jets doing? They acquired Alan Lazard. What are the Jets doing? Maybe coincidence, but Nathaniel Hackett is now in the building. What are the Jets doing? Maybe it's coincidence, but they're acquiring players that they know Aaron Rodgers would want to play with. What did we, the Eagles, do? We traded Nick Foles and a second-round pick and a fourth-round pick for Sam Bradford. Why Sam Bradford? Because the Titans needed a quarterback. So we were like, okay, Titans, y'all are drafting number two behind the Bucks. Bucks were going to take Jameis Winston. But what were the Titans going to do? Are they going to take Mariota? You don't need to take Mariota. Chip said to himself, if we can get Bradford, we will trade Bradford for Marcus Mariota. Well, what happened on draft day? Titans didn't make the trade. We tried to trade, the Eagles tried to trade Sam Bradford, Michael Kendricks, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Boykin, and like a first-round pick, all for Marcus Mariota, and they said no. Next thing you know, Chip gets fired because Sam Bradford was not who was supposed to lead that offense. The reason I tell you all this story, Jets fans, it's not done until it's done. So you can think you're acquiring all you want. You traded Elijah Moore for a second-round pick. Congratulations. But until Aaron Rodgers is in that building, it is not done. And I have just sat in the seats where I'm like, oh, surely Mariota will be here. Surely Aaron Rodgers is going to be here. But, Joy, I don't think it's done until it's done. That's why the Jets should be worried, just based on my experience. But what say you?
Well, I mean, you have the Green Bay side of this as well. Like, Green Bay's done a lot. A lot has happened. Aaron said a lot. The Jets have said a lot. Meetings have happened. We're talking about moving forward with Jordan Love. Too much has happened, right? Too many words have been said that can't be taken back in this situation for him to not end up leaving Green Bay. And he's saying he wants to go to the Jets. So I think this is going to get done. That's why they're saying they're not hyperventilating, but that's, you know, that's a big word to even be throwing out there. So what I think they're nervous about or should be nervous about is giving up more than they wanted to give up to give Aaron Rodgers, because I believe that's what the holdup is. The Packers don't want to give Aaron away for nothing. As they shouldn't, because they get pushed around all the time.
Yes.
So if they're going to stand up to anybody, it might as well be another team that's taking away their future Hall of Fame quarterback and forcing them essentially into transitioning into Jordan Love. Whether they want to do it or not, who knows? We'll find out in a book series or, you know, a streaming service series later on in life. That's how we'll find out. But that's what I think is happening here, and that's what the holdup is. That said, also, little note, give the Packers what they want. You're already going to be in a short-term situation with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is not a long-term solution. What are you holding on to draft picks for? You're going all in if you're bringing in Aaron Rodgers in anyway. So the game that these teams try to play, we're like, we're going to bring in this guy who's got like 2-3 years left, maybe 3 years on the long ends, but we're going to hold on to the future. Like, pick a hustle, because you're trying to play this game and you could end up with nothing.
With nothing. Would you be surprised if another team ended up with Aaron Rodgers? Meaning, I think the Colts draft after the Texans, and clearly they draft after the Panthers. We know C.J. Stroud. We know Bryce Young. So the Colts draft fourth. The top two quarterbacks, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, will likely be gone.
Yeah.
Would you be shocked if somehow the Colts, either on draft day, maybe that Saturday after the first round and the second, third round, would you be shocked if the Colts ended up making a move if they couldn't get the guys they wanted? Like, I don't know that the Jets should feel safe.
I mean, if Aaron has said he's playing for the Jets, then that's, Aaron has a little bit of leverage in this space. Like, he can just retire.
Which would benefit the Packers.
Sure. But if you're, like, he wants to go play for the Jets. So that's where Aaron's going to play. That's the only thing that would give me some comfort if I'm in New York.
That wouldn't make sense for the Colts. They're trying to build their franchise.
Yeah.
Aaron has, what, 2-3 more years left at the most? This is my whole thing with the whole breakdown, right, of Aaron Rodgers trying to go to the Jets and vice versa with the Packers. The Jets will get the most value, or they will give the most for Aaron Rodgers because the deal is already done, right? Like we both want this to work. The Jets, we want Aaron Rodgers. The Packers, you want to give him up. And we kind of worked it out already. So for another team to come in there and offer you so much, it's unlikely, right? Like, it's really – the deal is really done. I think they're just trying to figure it out. What exactly does the Jets willing to give, you know? And I think that the Packers – you keep talking about the Jets, but the Packers need to not get too crazy and – overboard, right? Try to ask too much because you already got a deal in place.
Shady,
you don't want to lose that.
What would be the Jets' motivation to increase their price at this point in time? And what would be the Packers' motivation to decrease their asking prices? Nothing has changed. Nothing roster-wise will change until, I believe, April 27th is the first round of the draft. So ain't nothing going to change for another.
Rush. Yeah, so it's no rush. But this is my thing. Like, the deal is already done, right? So I feel like when a team is waiting to get a player that they know they pretty much got, and the team that's giving him up, they pretty much know they're going to give Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. Why would you mess that up trying to get more out of a team that's already a done deal? Where if another team come in, it's now you got to do the whole thing all over again. What do you want for him, et cetera, et cetera? So the deal's already done, right? I think the Packers have been good with trying to meet all the demands that Aaron Rodgers wants. You know, he's out the door, man. Let's let it move on.
You asked, why should the Jets be compelled to do this? Well, the Sacramento Kings just made the playoffs. They are no longer the team with the longest playoff drought in sports, currently in sports. You know who are? That would be your New York Jets. So if they believe, as Shady believes, that Aaron Rodgers is the Pied Piper that is going to lead them to the promised land in the postseason, they should be more motivated than ever to get this done. The reason they should not be worried is because, to Shady's point, I don't know that the deal is done, but they're so far down the road. There's so much momentum. And the Green Bay Packers have made it clear, if the reports are accurate, what it takes to get the deal done. The Jets know that if they give up a first-round pick, they can get Aaron Rodgers. So there's not the uncertainty of the Mariota situation. It's like we know what it's going to take. We want to avoid doing that. We want to find if we can massage it in a different direction. But ultimately, they can get
this
done.
But Slick, don't you think the reason I wouldn't want to give up a first for Aaron Rodgers is because if I had that first, I could potentially maneuver that to draft a quarterback who I could keep for cheap for 4 or 5 years, as opposed to a disgruntled quarterback who didn't even make the playoffs last year for $50 million.
Okay, but that's why you met with Aaron Rodgers, and that's why you decided to go in on him. I mean, you don't go halfway with Aaron Rodgers.
Thank you.
You don't get Aaron Rodgers by going halfway. You've got to decide, this is the guy that's going to change our fortunes. We're ready to win now.
Is he worth the first-round pick?
He is to the New York Jets, if that's what it takes.
Well, clearly he's not, because they haven't done it yet.
Not a first rounder.
They're playing both sides of this. Are you planning for the future, or are you trying to go all in and take advantage of the roster that you have now with competent quarterback play? You can't have it both ways. The Packers don't need to give up Aaron Rodgers. They don't. They do not need to give up Aaron Rodgers. So that's why they're waiting. They can sit there and be like, we want a first-round pick. Don't want to give it.
Who's
playing quarterback for the New York Jets? The Packers have 2 quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You have no quarterback. So what leg do you have to stand on if you're the New York Jets to be talking about the future? It doesn't make sense. Go all in. Don't be hoarding draft picks.
Let's say they don't give up the first rounder, right? And then you got Aaron Rodgers comes back, where you already kind of basically alluded to Love being the quarterback going forward. So then what happens? You got Aaron Rodgers and you got Love. Then what happens?
Still in a dilemma. Like, the Packers are in a dilemma.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. Think about how the team's going to look. It's like, yo, we dysfunctional. You said he was going, now he's not going. Now we got 2 quarterbacks.
But that's still a better situation than the Jets would be in.
Exactly.
I heard it, but it's pressure. I feel like, to me, it's more pressure on the Packers. You're going to have a $50 million quarterback. Think about it. You got a $50 million quarterback that you're paying, right? Not playing. You have Jordan Love playing the quarterback. Like, that's a lot. Who does that? I've never seen that before.
No one does, but that's still a better situation than the Jets with no quarterback.
That's just going. It's just.
It's both dysfunctional. And it's not.
Now one dude plays have a bad game. Yo.
Yeah, but are
y'all gonna put Aaron in?
If it's not the
you
Jets,
get what I'm saying?
If it's not the Jets, do you? I can find a home for Aaron Rodgers. Are you telling me that if the Jets bailed, that there would be nobody else that would be interested in Aaron Rodgers?
I seriously don't think that no team would go out there and give a first rounder for Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, but that's not what I'm saying.
Not because he's not good enough. It's just that, yo, he's older. He always talks about retirement.
It don't make sense.
Soon you talk about retirement as a player.
Okay.
You know how that is.
Right, why are you even talking about Aaron Rodgers then?
Thank you.
Aaron Rodgers is not a long-term solution. Aaron Rodgers is, and I don't think he is this, but this is the mentality. Brady comes in. He's got 2-3 years left. We have a roster that's capable of making it somewhere, but we don't have a quarterback that's capable of getting us there. That's the mentality. Now, I don't think that's it, and I don't think that's how this is going to work, but that's the mentality of a team that's in this situation. Otherwise, why would the Jets have picked up the phone? Bring, I'd like to talk to Aaron, please. Doesn't make sense. Like, you're in the business of right now, not the future.
That is true.
Jets.
And the Jets flew out to come see him. Well, transitioning from that topic to the storyline of the National Basketball Association, LeBron James, he led the Lakers back to a huge, much-needed win yesterday. If you missed it, we will fill you in. Should the Lakers be feared in the West? This has been a great show. Appreciate y'all hanging with us.
I thought that was awesome.
Now, look, y'all, the Lakers got a much-needed win over the Bulls last night. LeBron James and Anthony Davis combined for 63 points. L.A., now the 8th seed out West. AD said they can, quote, definitely make a run. Sports Illustrated, they wrote the Lakers. Huh? The Lakers are going to the NBA Finals?
You see that, LeBron? I said it to you.
Kyrie's is more like this.
I mean, you know what? Pick a lane. Play,
yeah, Kyrie's
pick a lane. One day I hear you talking about my Warriors, and now you're talking about the Lakers.
Listen.
Can you just give me one?
Yeah, you do got
to
pick one.
I respect the king.
Yes, sir.
You love to, you know, I don't want to say it, but you love to hate on the king a little bit. He do what he ain't gonna you do. So all I'm saying is when I seen that, I get a little love. That's all.
Okay.
Okay, so I hate on the king, in your words. I hate on Lamar. I hate on KD. Who else? I hate on. Who do I praise, Shady?
Giannis. That's it.
And Steph.
But that's why you good on TV, because you cool with hating. You know what I mean?
Recipe to being good on television. For those of you at home that just want to be on television, it's very simple. Be good at hating.
Right.
So LeSean McCoy.
If I hate, I put my name on it. I said it.
Okay, look, the Lakers, they finally got that much-needed win. AD, LeBron James, 63 points. When you really think about it, the Lakers could be feared in the West because there's not a lot of teams that are big dogs. Yeah. But, Slick, should the Lakers be feared in the West?
No, they should not. I love the fact that they split with the Chicago Bulls, who are, 36-40, and now we're going to have this topic. There's 6-4 over their last 10 games, but now they're on their way to the NBA Finals. No. Now, the Denver Nuggets in particular should be wary of the Los Angeles Lakers.
I agree.
I say that because of the until you prove it.
Yeah.
Right?
And I mean, they're the number one seed in the West, and we're not giving them no shot.
Well, we've seen that before. The Utah Jazz were number one, and they weren't going anywhere, and they finally took it apart and started over. So we've seen it happen before. I'll go to really logical reasons why they should be, and that's because versus, say, the Kings or the Memphis Grizzlies or any of those other top teams that they could potentially run into. And that's because the Denver Nuggets are best playing slow, and the Lakers are good at playing fast. Mm-hmm. Now, so are the Kings, so are the Grizzlies. So the Lakers are playing to those teams' strength. If they play at their strength, they're not going to win that battle. But if they can control the tempo, which they've done, look, they went 2-2 against the Nuggets this year, and that was prior to the trades made at the trade deadline.
But just tell me about the Lakers, Slick, because we're talking about the Nuggets, but there's a chance the Lakers are the 6th seed.
Right.
Chance the Lakers are the 7th seed.
Right.
We don't know what seed the Lakers will be, assuming they make the playoffs. Yeah. So the Lakers themselves, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, a blooming and blossoming Austin Reeves, D'Lo, like, should the Lakers themselves be feared? I think so. Outside of the Warriors and outside of the Suns, nobody in the West has beaten LeBron James. The Warriors have beaten LeBron James back when he was in Cleveland. The Suns have beaten LeBron James when he was with the Lakers first round. You out of there with Book and with Ayton and CP. So I think everybody should fear the Lakers, because when the Lakers have made the playoffs, they've gone to the championship or the Suns beat them. But remember, that was the Suns team that went all the way to the finals.
Okay, but
so that wasn't a bad Suns team.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I think the Grizzlies should fear him. I think the Nuggets should fear him. I think the Kings should fear him. I think the Clippers, especially without PG, should fear him. If the Mavericks find their way in there, they should fear him. I think the Pelicans, they find their way in there, they should fear him. I think everybody should fear him except those two teams.
Hold on. First of all, we're talking about LeBron James 3 years ago that went to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about 3 years later, and we're talking about a completely different team.
1,000%.
And a team that has just been put together in the last month, 6 weeks. So, as I've said before, if we were talking about this from the beginning of the year, and if we weren't talking about a LeBron James who is playing with a torn tendon in his ankle, then I might buy into this conversation that they're dangerous. But as is, when I look at, again, as young as the teams might be, the Memphis Grizzlies might be, or even the Sacramento Kings, those teams have been together far longer. The Memphis Grizzlies and the Phoenix Suns and the Golden State Warriors and even the LA Clippers all have playoffs experience together. And to me, that's the great divider, is the regular season is not the playoffs.
1,000%.
The playoffs demands, attention to detail and execution.
But LeBron has more playoff experience than the whole roster of the Grizzlies and the Kings and whoever else you want to say combined. That's why I think there is some fear to be had outside of the Warriors and the Suns. What do you say?
I mean, I think they should be aware of the Lakers. And I think that teams that haven't proven anything, if they end up getting that matchup, will take it very seriously. And they should. Because you're right. This team, you know, did just get put together. But LeBron is the king.
You're the king.
And Anthony Davis is healthy. And they have something to play for. Like, this means...
You're looking at me like you want me to argue with you.
No, I don't want you to argue.
I'm not going to argue.
I'm just letting you know.
I'm not going to argue.
I don't know. Sometimes we just got to make eye contact.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. Fear is a bit of... might be a bit of a... It might be too aggressive of a term. But if you're comfortable with it, then fine. Fear, awareness, whatever your preference is. This is but what I've been saying about the Lakers all along. If they get into the postseason... Y'all better be ready, because this is LeBron James. This is a healthy Anthony Davis. And this is role players that if they get into the postseason, they will have done that because they figured it out.
Yeah, see, that's my thing, man. It's like, you got LeBron James. I mean, it's LeBron James, right? And then AD, depending on what AD we get, a more consistent, healthy AD, when AD's rolling, he's rolling.
Rolling.
And then I look at how all the role players had to step up their game, had to get more playing time, more minutes, right? Had a bigger role when LeBron was out. So now you gain all that confidence. I remember just playing as a young role player, right? I just didn't want to mess up. And then when Brian Westbrook went down, I was the guy. Like, I had a bigger role. Mm-hmm. And you gain confidence. That's the best thing, I think, for any players to get confidence. So now LeBron comes back. All them role players that needed confidence, they got it. Going forward, listen, I'm not saying they're going to the championship. That's hard to do. They're still in the play-in.
How far do you see them going?
With this team... That's the question mark. I don't know. I could see them winning a series or two. I'm just going to say that. I don't want to get too crazy. And, you know, but they got the potential. They got the potential to do it. I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying they have the potential to do it.
To Shady's point, it's matchup dependent. If they don't see the Suns or the Warriors, I think they will go to the Western Conference Finals. But if they have
they got size, they're athletic, and they play defense. And from time to time, they can shoot the trade ball.
I said the Western Conference is wide open, so I'm not going to disagree that there's not a shot. But at best, I'm going to say they're in the mix. And to your point, like, there's some others that are probably bigger favorites.
No doubt about it. Well, the team that has a long shot is now the Dallas Mavericks. It's really the most epic collapse in all of basketball this season. The Mavs added Kyrie, and they started losing substantially. We got to tell you what in the world is going on with Dallas and who is to blame. It's chaos in Dallas. That's next.
Ichamna.
The Mavericks, they took a L against the Sixers last night and have lost 5 out of their last 6 games. Dallas made a huge trade, I'm sure you were aware, in the middle of the season. Kyrie Irving paired up with Luka Doncic. But currently, they are fighting for their playoff lives, and they're on the outside looking in. Kyrie said that they're fighting for a play-in spot was not the expectation anyone had in the locker room. His quotes post-game, they were pretty loud and pretty damning, if you will. I will not say them in large part because I can't on national television.
You can't say that?
Okay. Cluster bleep?
Yep, Custer, please. Slick, I believe that the Mavericks have a Kyrie problem. Mm-hmm. And the reason I believe the Mavs have a Kyrie Irving problem is because it's a problem that needs to find a solution. I go back and I say, okay, is there a solution? Nope, no solution, problem. Hmm. Kyrie Irving has to get re-signed at the end of this deal by the Dallas Mavericks. Why? Because they traded pieces for him. More than that, the Dallas Mavericks were the sixth seed when they acquired Kyrie, and now they are the 11th seed. I don't know whether that it's Kyrie's fault, but people overestimate his talent. So with that being said, I think the Dallas Mavericks started losing once Kyrie Irving showed up, hence them having a problem. But what in the world do you say?
I say that the Lakota word that I wish that Kyrie had used.
Because, I know her.
Right? No.
I grew up with a girl named Lakota. Lakota.
We're talking about like an entirely different thing. I'm talking about Lakota, the language, Native American language.
What are you talking about?
Growing up in the hood, you know, it's all
sorts of names. This has gone off the rails.
Told you.
Shawanda. Never mind.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're talking about a language.
I'm talking about Ichamna. That's the Lakota word for as close as to cluster bleep.
What in the world is Lakota? Joy, what, you got a doctorate, so don't try to sit this one out.
I would very much like to be left out of this.
What Lakota mean?
Lakota.
Lakota is the language of the Sioux, which is the tribe that Kyrie is from.
Yeah.
She was tall, though.
Was she?
Oh, Kyrie said that. He said that his mom is from. She's from.
Really? I'm speaking another language now. I'm amazed.
She's from some tribe in North Dakota. He told me that.
Wow. Okay.
But the Shakota I know, she's like tall.
You know a Shakota. He's talking about Lakota.
Yeah. But Lakota. Look. See, I mess her name up now. Go ahead, man. She was tall, though.
And she was from what tribe was she from?
She from Harrisburg, where I'm from.
You just said she was from the North Dakota tribe.
No, Kyrie's mom.
Oh.
But what's the word you said? What's the name?
Ichamna?
No.
Or Lakota?
Lakota, I know
Lakota.
Her.
You know Lakota.
But she from my city.
She from Harrisburg.
From Harrisburg.
From PA.
Yeah.
I had no idea. You know what? I'm going to take responsibility for this. It's my fault.
Yeah, it is your fault.
Put it on me. I got big shoulders. They have a problem if they can't re-sign Kyrie Irving. And there's no guarantee. How can I go back?
What's the question?
Do the Mavs have a Kyrie Irving?
No, they do not have... They have a Kyrie Irving problem if Kyrie Irving is not there. You're suggesting that the reason that they have a problem is because Kyrie Irving is
correct.
There. They need Kyrie Irving to commit so that they're able to build around Kyrie and Luka. If they never get the chance to do that, then they've just given away a multitude of pieces for a guy that they rented for just a couple of months. Now, the belief is that they would not have done that if they didn't know that they were going to have Kyrie, that he's going to re-sign with them.
Let me do this. I truly admire your willingness and ability to get through that question. Shady, what are you making? Okay,
you
fill the cup with water, then you put in half and half. You put in two sugar packets.
Creamer.
I'm trying to do a show.
Look at the desk.
Okay, what in the world? You eat like a kid.
He's going to sneeze next.
Okay, you eat like a kid. You're talking about Lakota from Harrisburg, and she's from the North Dakota tribe.
She's tall, too.
What? And she's tall. Yeah. With long hair. What's going on here?
Nah, listen, I'm engaged.
Yeah.
I needed some coffee, though.
What was the question?
Do the math, not about the question. Okay, I'm not worried about the question anymore.
We got a lot of time left in the segment. We should probably do some Kyrie talk.
Clean this up. This up, and then we're going to focus on the show over here.
You guys are focused, guys.
Do the Mavs have a Kyrie Irving problem, George
Taylor?
No,
they don't. They have a defense problem. They have a role player problem. I'm sorry, my eyes are watering. The construction of this team is what's to blame in Dallas. It can't be Kyrie. Kyrie just got there. I said this when the trade was made. It's very exciting, rightfully so. Kyrie's a top player. But it takes time for these things to get moving. It takes time for this to all click together. They have a defensive issue.
Yes, they do.
They're not going to be able to solve that before the end of the season.
Correct.
If I'm not mistaken, they need other things to happen now for them to even get into the postseason. Like, it's not even all up to them.
Yeah.
So they're in a really bad spot here. This can't be placed on Kyrie. There is a number one there. There's a face of the organization, and it's Luka. Who, by the way, is also not a massive defender. So it's not like he's playing at a high defensive level and Kyrie comes in and all of a sudden everything crashes down. That's not how this goes.
But, if they have a defense problem and they have a role player problem, but they gave up role players for Kyrie and Kyrie doesn't play defense, could you not go back and say, well, if they have a defensive problem and a role player problem and the Kyrie don't play defense and they gave up role players for the Kyrie, they got a Kyrie problem.
Why does it have to be this year?
Well,
as long as Kyrie comes back, it's all good. And we're not going to know 100% if that's going to happen until the postseason, until after the season's over. So if Kyrie returns, you're fine. The expectations that he was going to come and all of a sudden they're a championship roster is silly. Like, it's just exaggerated. Yeah. None of us thought they were going to be this bad, but you get Kyrie, you have someone alongside Luka, and now you bring in role players that play at a high defensive level and complement these two players. But, by the way, if anyone's going to be responsible for developing their game, shouldn't it be Luka?
Okay.
Kyrie's in year 13. You know what Kyrie is.
Here's the real problem, or the person or thing to blame, or the concern that I would have going forward. And it's really not Kyrie Irving. It's my question as to whether Mark Cuban and Nico Harrison know how to build a championship caliber team around Luka Doncic.
Around Luka, gotcha. I'm like, because Cuban's done it.
Because they've tried multiple pieces. And where this all really began was that they let Jalen Brunson go. That they weren't willing to re-sign Jalen Brunson. That's why Kyrie Irving is here now.
Yeah,
right. Right? And
second score.
I'm looking at a team that, if you can consider it a fluke if you want, they went to the Western Conference Finals.
That's what I'm saying. So how can you then utter that, do the Mavs know how to build a championship team around Kyrie? Because you could argue that last year's team was championship caliber. The Warriors have one of the greatest dynasties in the history of basketball. So every team has seen the Warriors and fallen, including LeBron James, maybe the greatest basketball player of all time. Mm-hmm. So losing to the Warriors isn't a great litmus test of are you championship caliber. Haven't the Mavericks already proven that they've been able to put a championship caliber team? Because if you lose to the Warriors, everybody and their mama loses to the Warriors.
You got to beat the Warriors to get to the finals. Yeah, I don't think you can say you're a championship roster if you're not playing in the finals. Yeah.
They need a little bit more.
But
Well,
look, even when Kyrie showed up, they were a 6-seed team. Like, it wasn't they were a juggernaut,
exactly.
They were headed someplace. Yeah. I just feel as if the problem is, and I think Joy pointed to it, is the expectations and the timeline that everybody has the Dallas Mavericks on. Just because you went and got Kyrie doesn't mean you're immediately going to be better.
That's my question.
Right?
My question is that. Like, if it's next year, what's wrong with that?
All right, okay, I got a question.
Okay.
What's the Lakota word for next? Like, coming up next?
I have to look that up. I need research on these other languages.
I'm
not fluent in Lakota.
On Facebook.
Lakota
up on Facebook.
Ask a tall girl. What's next?
Yep. Long hair, tall.
Harrisburg. Yeah. Okay, coming up, Lamar Jackson, he is not speak Lakota, and he's not from Harrisburg, but we have to talk about the contract that he has looming because there is some chatter from other teams that's non-existent. Next on Speak.
I'll have that word in the
Lamar from Florida.
Okay, checking back in on our social life. Former Patriot Asante Samuel doesn't want to see Lamar Jackson in New England, tweeting, "Lamar, my brother, trust me, you don't want to play for Belichick." Close quote. Shady, I know you tight with Asante Samuel. What you make of it?
You know what? Now, when he says something, I listen to him, right? He's the most authentic, realest person you're ever going to meet. But it's funny because a lot of players that play under Bill Belichick, they all feel the same way.
What way is that?
Like, hey, it's like playing in hell. I mean, seriously, a lot of players, they all the success in championships, they'd rather play somewhere else. Really? But then again, let's just be real. Tom Brady's not there. Do they win? They don't win. I mean, you're wasting your time in New England.
It is fascinating. I don't think it was a coincidence during the COVID year when players could opt out that the Patriots had the most opt-out.
They couldn't wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think that was a coincidence.
And some of their biggest leaders.
Correct. Yeah. Like, Patriots had, I believe, 8 opt-outs, and I think there were maybe 40 or some odd total. I'll have us check during the course of this block.
Lot of trophies in hell.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Hell seems, like, kind of fun.
No, with Tommy. When Tom's there.
Sure.
So when he's not there.
No, like, I understand what Asante is.
So
it's
like you playing in hell with no trophies.
Yeah, I hear that.
It's just
I hear
real
that
hot.
Part.
This is
I'm
hot
just
as hell.
Saying, like, I don't know. It was hell there for a while. It was like Death Star. You know what I mean? They was winning.
But don't you make something of it, Slick? So during the opt-out year, 67 players opted out. 8 were from New England. That's 12% of the league from one team.
Sure.
What do you make of the fact of, like, people say maybe don't play in New England? Does it mean anything, or are some players just bitter?
No, I would say that if you think you have a chance of playing for a championship, you'll put up with a lot.
Yeah.
Right? And they're looking That's at true. It going, we're not playing for a championship this year, so if I'm not going to get that, and let's face it, they haven't always been generous with their money either. Mm-hmm. So why would I be staying in New England? I get that, but I don't know that that's appreciably different from other situations. I've known plenty of guys who have, as soon as they get their ring, they're like, okay, well, now let me go get paid, or let me go play where I can be a star, or I can get the other accolades that I'm after.
I'm going to hijack this segment, and we got to stop down here for a second.
Okay.
Are the Patriots and Patriots fans just wasting time now with Bill Belichick? The reason I say that is, whether or not you believe Tom Brady was the primary factor for winning in New England, the Patriots, their staff, does not proven to be like they're fully competent. You just went and got Bill O'Brien, who was a fallout head coach for the Houston Texans, went to Alabama, but even in Alabama, he kind of underwhelmed. They were happy he left. You just got him as your offensive coordinator. You have one of the best defensive minds, and Matt Patricia is like your quarterback coach. Joe Judge last year was on the offensive side of the ball. He's a renowned special teams coach. You got co-defensive coordinators, but no real defensive coordinator because Belichick's the defensive coordinator. The Patriots notoriously don't like spending money, and they really don't know how to spend money because they don't really know how to acquire players either through the draft or through free agency. Are they truly just wasting time because Bill Belichick has won so many rings that you'll just give him grace forever?
I think they won so many championships. So for the fans, like, we can live on that. Like the Cowboy fans, right? They won so many championships and that little era, that little time where they can still remain a Cowboys
fan. But here's my thought. I think next generation's Patriots are this generation's Cowboys. That is what I think.
Yeah.
I don't know that we'll ever see a dynasty like the Patriots.
I don't even care so much for a dynasty, Joy. Like, in some degree, to some degree, kind of be like the Eagles. Like, the Eagles been to 3 Super Bowls since the turn of the century. They went to the one they won with Doug Peterson. They went to one this year. They went to one with Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. Now, the Patriots went to 6.
NFC Championship
But I'm wondering,
games.
Like, are they just going to fall off a cliff?
Six.
They won 6, excuse me. They went to 9.
Yeah.
I mean, but
I'm saying, like, Cool, but they won 6 championships.
But the reason
I agree with you.
He's out.
I don't think they're going to win another one. I agree with you.
But what? They come close?
I don't think they're going to come close because I don't think that Bill Belichick's system and style translates to 2023.
So then, Joy, don't you have to, your mom's a Cowboys fan. You talk about it all the time. Was it worth it? The Cowboys have been
it's worth it.
They won 6 championships.
I'm saying this. If you were the Cowboys, would you have rather had your 3 during the course of that 5-year stretch, or would you rather still be able to win some now?
Because
you always say the Cowboys can't win now because of to some degree.
I don't know if we can even talk about the Cowboys really, because despite the fact the Cowboys don't never compete for a championship, they're the biggest brand in all of sports. In the whole world.
But the Patriots, since Tom Brady has left, or when Tom Brady is not present, they don't compete either. The year before Tom Brady became the starter, when Tom Brady got hurt with Matt Cassel,
But I'm saying, like, the Cowboys can be cool not competing for Super Bowl.
Because of the brand.
Because they're the most popular team human Earth.
I feel you.
The Patriots have won 6 championships and went to 9. If that doesn't earn you 5 years, letting him walk out the door on his own terms, wait, what are we doing?
Draw the parallel then, Slick. Draw the parallel with the Lakers. Because Phil Jackson with the Lakers, he got himself 5 in what would have been 11 years, if I'm not mistaken. He got the 3-peat, and then he went with Kobe again and won those back-to-back. He got two more. So he got himself 5
and
in 11 years.
And went 3 times.
Yes. Yeah. But when he lost to the Mavs 4-1, if I'm not mistaken, he was like, you know what? This thing done. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
They didn't just say, well, Phil, you've gotten 5 over the course of 11, 12 years. Stay as long as you want. He also was like, yeah, you know what? I'm out of here. Is there a parallel there? Like, should Belichick just be able to live in New England in perpetuity because of the 6?
No, there's going to be one of 2 things. Well, something needs to be reinvented. Something needs to change. Either Belichick changes. He comes up and modernizes his approach. Or you find someone else who will. I will say the one distinction between the Patriots and the Cowboys and the lasting power of their brand is that the Cowboys are so built on personalities and Jerry Jones. And That's not, the Patriots has always been the Patriots. If there was any name brand, it was Tom Brady, and it's no longer
there. It's no longer there. Fascinating, fascinating, fascinating. This has been a heck of a show. But coming up, we got a little bit more for you. We got to take care of some family business. You do not want to miss it. You do not know what you will hear, but it will be captivating. Go nowhere. Speak.
Next. Next.
Okay, it's been a wild show, but get this. The draft is coming up, and Will Levis is one of these star quarterbacks, supposed to be a first-round pick, guaranteed to get taken.
Oh.
He posted a couple maybe body update pictures from his pre-workout to post-workout. Shady, we've all been here before. Know what you make it like, Will Levis? He's trying to get his draft status up.
Joy.
Pause.
Pause. No. Like, what?
I'm actually not against this. I am pro this.
Why?
What?
I can't be pro this. Why? What do you mean why?
I mean, she might like it. What do you like about
it? I mean, this is what you're supposed to do, right? You're supposed to like show what kind of physique you're in before the draft.
I never did none of that.
I'm gonna use another Lakota word. Yoki Han.
What's that mean?
Next.
Oh, God. Hey, wait, hold on. I did hear that back in the day. That was you.
Dakota,
you look just
we
like that.
Make this like a, we should make this like a daily segment. This is how we should end every show, I think.
With what?
No, I'm cool.
With Shady.
But,
maybe Shady.
But yeah, when they say like Slick was like this, like he had it in his neck, all the muscles, all that. Like 2 months ago.
Shady, tell Dakota I say
the
what's up.
Yo, 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 yo.